checking to see if the equipment is working correctly. I'm in the home of Mr. Ronald Lee in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. He is one of the 1989 principals. The date is January 19th, 1991. Now, Mr. Lee, I'd like for you to say that you know that, introduce yourself and say you know this is being recorded.
Yes, my name is Ron M. Lee, and I am aware that the conversation that Mrs. Wells and I are engaged in is being taped.
All right, Mr. Lee, you responded to my questionnaire, and I really appreciate it. Sure. I'm doing some research. I'm interviewing black principals that were principals in 1964 of a high school and ones who were principal in 1989. And I'm trying to see if you perceive your roles the same way. So I'm going all over the state, and I'm so happy that you consented to see me on a Saturday night.
That's all right, glad to.
And I'm going to ask you some questions and want you to respond in any way you like.
Okay.
I want you to tell me how you became a high school principal.
I guess after 17 years as being assistant principal at the school that I am based at, after going through probably about six principals during my tenure as assistant principal, I guess it's sort of like fate. The associate superintendent who was in the county became the superintendent, and for many years we'd worked very close together, and at the same time the principal who was at the high school became the assistant superintendent, and the superintendent asked me if I would take on the job as the principal. He stated that I put in my time and he had faith and trust in me that I could do it, and a lot of the faculty members wanted to see me as principal. And it's kind of ironic, I guess I was a little scared at first because I did turn down the job three times, and I guess with pressure from the superintendent and several of the board members, I consented to take the job.
So you became the principal of Currituck County High School.
That is correct.
Had you worked as a teacher?
I worked 2 years as a teacher. I was a combination teacher and assistant principal when I first went to Currituck County in 1973. I was a teacher in the morning and assistant principal in the afternoon for 2 years. And then after those initial 2 years, I became full-time assistant principal.
All right, would you tell me something about Currituck County High School, something about the racial composition and the number of students, teachers?
Sure. Right now, it's probably about 85-80% white and probably about 14% black. We have a teaching faculty of 47. Out of 47 teachers, only two teachers are black. So I guess many times, many people, when I tell them that I am the principal at Currituck County High School, they're a little surprised because of the racial makeup there. But I've always been treated with respect, and I've been treated very fairly. I get along well with all of my faculty members and students, and I probably because my longevity there and really working in the community, visiting many of the churches and I guess many of the functions that go on in the county, and I guess people know me and they feel comfortable with me, no matter whether it's black or white, I often visit the white churches as well as the black churches and community functions. So it's a real good working relationship there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you something about how you deal with some of the responsibilities that you have there at high school, and then I want you just to address those.
Right.
Would you tell me how you deal with supervision of personnel and selection of teachers?
Selection of teachers, usually in interviewing, we have an interview committee which is made up of two of the assistant superintendents, myself, and always the department chair. We usually will interview a particular applicant at least twice before we make a decision. Usually, most of our hiring is done during the summer, and the team is always on alert during the summer, because in Carrington County, the teacher turnover is a pretty good rate, I guess because in our area, we're located in between metropolitan Virginia and the Dare Beaches, so usually many people will come there as a stepping stone to go to either one of the other systems. So we do have quite a turnover. So usually most of it is done during the summer, and we have a team always on standby to interview prospective teachers.
Now, the supervision of your personnel and the evaluation of personnel.
Supervision basically is usually split between myself and the two assistant principals. Usually the tenured teachers, they are supervised as far as duties, and evaluations are done by the assistant principals. Usually I will only evaluate the non-tenure and the ICP teachers, because we have to spend quite a bit more time with them, and we have to make sure that these people are up to par before they reach tenure.
Curriculum and instruction.
Curriculum and instruction usually falls on my shoulder. I have been given sort of a release there a little. We promoted one of the senior English teachers on our faculty. She is now my curriculum coordinator, and she works very closely with the department chairs and curriculum improvements and curriculum changes that we need. So she takes on the biggest responsibility there. She, as I said, she works closely with the other faculty, and they meet quite often to look at curriculum needs and changes, and then they will bring to me a recommendation. I will look over or read the recommendation very carefully, and then we will all sit down. Usually the curriculum coordinator, myself, and the department chairs will sit down, and we'll make a decision from there. So it keeps it going quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. But you see yourself as instructional leader?
Yes, I have to be. There's no doubt about that. I have to be curriculum coordinator. For one reason, I guess the principal as the curriculum coordinator has to be sort of a cheerleader, a lot of times in motivating the faculty, especially when you have a large percent of your faculty that have been teaching for 15 or more years. They're not that ready for change, and that is the biggest responsibility, is motivating and getting the faculty accustomed to change, and that is a hard job for a lot of them. And sometimes the veteran teachers are very envious of the new teachers many times, because new teachers come in there very energetic and very open to change, and sometimes we have a little split in the faculty, and here again I have to try to pull the two factions back together and get everyone going in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the discipline?
Discipline, it's sort of a relief for me not to have to deal with discipline anymore after having dealt with it for 17 years. Basically, that was my responsibility. I'm a very staunch disciplinarian, even though I love students, and I try to spend a lot of time talking with students and being their friend, but I try to have them to understand that in order for us to provide a learning atmosphere for them, we have to have discipline, we have to have respect for each other, and respect for the teachers, and respect for the property. we lay out the rules and regulations at the beginning of the year. We usually bring all the students into an assembly, and myself and the two assistant principals will talk to them. We try to get them to understand what we expect of them, and we lay it on the line. If they do not obey, they know exactly what is going to happen, and usually we do not deviate from that. Many times we start out tough, and as the year goes on, we can sometimes ease up on some of the restrictions that we have. We have for many years in Carrituck County had a dropout problem. Our dropout rate was up to approximately 8% at one time. Student attendance was down. So I've tried to institute some things that will motivate students to come to school. And one thing we instituted last year for those students who missed two or less days during a semester will be exempt from exams. Our attendance rate is at 97% this year. Also, our absentee policy, I have tightened up on that, and that also has brought the attendance rate up. There are only a few things that are excused, such as illness and death in the immediate family or court date of medical appointments. And when there are medical or court appointments, we make sure that the students bring a note from the doctor stating the date of the appointment and time that they arrive at the office and leave the office. We got quite a bit of flack from some of the parents in the community, but we withstood that, and it has all paid off. And I try to communicate with the parents. I guess sometimes when students get to high school, sometimes parents have a tendency to have less association with the student and the school. We used to have a PTA at the high school. We no longer have one because we could not find enough parents that were interested. So we spent quite a bit of paper and stamps sending out letters and newsletters to parents. I want to make an effort to communicate with parents. Since they will not come to us, we try to get the information out to them about rule changes and things that we want to do in the school. So vandalism and things like that have subsided quite a bit. We're trying to institute some self-esteem in our students. Many of them, with Carrituck County being a rural agricultural community, many of the students come from lower income families. So we try to do things with them to develop self-esteem and self-pride and take pride in themselves and their school and other things. So it's been a hard struggle, but we can see some of the results of that.
What about transportation?
Transportation, we have the bus system. We're probably at the high school. We have quite a few students that drive to, and even though it's a rural county and low income, you would not think so if you pulled up on our campus. Matter of fact, we're running out of parking space now. I would say probably about half of the students ride buses and the other half private vehicles. Probably, usually at the beginning of the year, I would say probably about 75% of our students will ride buses, but as the weeks go on, they will find transportation to ride with other students, or many times parents will sacrifice to buy them vehicles. Even though we can see a recession going on now, that has not affected those students that are driving private vehicles right now, so the parking lots are still full. You name the cars, they driving from Mercedes on down. Mm-hmm. So, there is some money. Because of our location, a lot of the parents are military families. A majority of the families work outside of the community, usually in Tidewater, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So there is a good percentage of the community that has a pretty good salary background.
So how far is Barco, where the school's located, how far is that from Norfolk?
Probably about 20, well, Norfolk, I'd say about 40 miles or mm-hmm. less. We're somewhat the high school is located about midway to county. Mm-hmm. I think the longest bus route probably is about 36 to 40 miles mm-hmm. One way.
Is one of the assistant principals responsible for the buses?
Yes, he is. He happens to be also the head football coach and mm-hmm. In charge of buses. Mm-hmm. And most of, probably about 90% of the discipline.
I see. Utilization of funds.
I think Currituck County is very fortunate, even though we're a small rural county, whereas, as you know, small counties do not, I guess we do not feel we get our ample share of money from the state. The local county commissioners have been very good to the school system in Currituck County, and we pretty much get pretty much what we want. We just installed an IBM computer at the high school last year, which was, I think I had budgeted probably about $50,000 for that. And one of the elementary schools also got the same computer lab. Our present high school is 15 years old now. And we just have so many things and programs that many small counties do not have because of local money that is put in the school system. Is there any,
How do you go about when you get the allocation from the county? How do you go about giving it?
All right. Usually when I find out what my allocation is, I will sit down with department chairs and I will ask them, each department, to work a budget as far as items that they need, maybe capital outlay, supplies, or staff development. And my budget depends on that, and if I get what I ask for, usually I'll have enough to go around. The bigger items, usually we rotate it from year to year. I think the science department got the biggest share of the money this year. Next year we're looking at giving it to the vocational department because we're starting a new program in the vocational department next year. I try to give every department at least $1,000 for besides the instructional supply money each year. And as the year goes on, usually if there's money not used in one area, we try to switch line items to make sure that all of the needs are taken care of. So usually most of the departments are pretty happy, and I allow them many times to make the decision about who gets the largest share, so they will know how it feels sometimes to divvy out the money, and maybe one department may not get as much as the other. So they have usually worked real well. They will sometimes get together and they will usually work it out before it gets to me. So usually it's pretty much taken care of by the time it comes to me. And they're very considerate of each other, and they do a real good job with that.
Oh, I didn't ask you, how many schools are there in your system?
There are six schools in the system. Four elementary schools, one junior high, and a senior high. And of course that makes it better with only having one high school.
Cafeteria management.
That has totally been taken out of the hands of the principal now. I'm glad of that. We have a central food service supervisor who takes care of the cafeterias, and each school has a cafeteria manager, and they report directly to the food service manager. But yet and still, the principals do work very closely with the cafeteria managers to make sure that they have things that they need, even though their budget is separate from ours, or if there's anything we can help. So that is one burden that has been taken off the principals in Currituck County.
Building and grounds.
Building and grounds, I have one assistant principal who usually takes care of that. The maintenance staff works directly under him. Any the repairs that need to be done, usually he will make daily inspections to make sure everything is up to par. The custodians have the equipment and supplies that they need to make sure that the lawn is well taken care of. And I guess that's another area that we have been given a reprieve. Last year, the county contracted out the lawn service to a private company. So thank the Lord we don't have that to worry with. The company comes in once a week, does all the grass cutting and trimming and everything, and that really takes a lot of pressure off of us, because we have a lot of grass. We have a lot of open space that we have to keep neat and clean.
Mm-hmm. The relationship, community relationship of your school.
The community relationship is good. It's not as good as I would like to see it. I would like to see more parent participation. Now, community relationship in some other forms I think is very good. The fact that we're the only high school in the county, the high school is sort of the flagship or the focal point of the community, and the building is used for every imaginable thing that you can think of by the people in the community. And we encourage that, and we're trying to do other things to get people in the community to come in. We have night classes there. I work with several faculty members in the school, and it, now in the afternoon the school is open to over 50 group that come in and walk. Usually our school, the hallway is sort of a circle, and with the weather the way it is now, they come in and we open all of the doors and they walk their 2 miles every day through the halls. And because of that, some of those people we have gotten to come in and to be school volunteers. So we feel the more people that we can get in the school and see what we're doing, and just letting them know that we welcome them and we want them in, and that we're not ashamed or afraid to have them in the school, it helps a lot. And I think we're seeing a gradual change there. And I guess for so long, many people in the community, because it is a high school, have sort of been reluctant to come in during the day to see what we're doing. And as I go around the community and through the churches and other civic organizations, I am constantly inviting people in the community to come in and see what we're doing. Come in other times other than football or basketball games and things like that, and just feel free to walk around and to see what their tax dollars are doing and what we're doing to educate their children.
How much administrative power or control do you think you have over your school site and your responsibilities?
I would feel quite a bit. I think because my superintendent and I have worked together for so long and we know each other, I've been pretty much left to I guess run the school the way I feel, and the direction that I'm going. Many principals may seem to be going in the other direction, that they do not have the autonomy that they want or they need. But I'm really pretty lucky that I do have a superintendent and a board who has allowed me to, as far as curriculum, discipline, and other changes that need to take place in the school, have allowed me the control to do that with very little interference at all. So I really feel pretty lucky there. And sometimes I get a little scared because I do have that much authority. And I guess sometimes I get a little leery because I've never really considered myself a boss. And I've always tried to work with my faculty as though they were equal to me. And I'm not one that really stand behind my teachers and look over the backs every 5 minutes or they know I make it clear what I want out of them, and they pretty much know that. Soft-spoken, very seldom get angry, and I don't know whether they know it or not that I know it, but my nickname is the Gentle Giant. Mm-hmm. So
the Gentle Guy?
Giant.
Yes. You are pretty large.
but when there's one that gets out of line, does not pull his or her share of the responsibility, or not conforming with the rules and regulations, I do not hesitate pulling that person in and sitting down and talking with them and letting them know what I expect of them. And I always try to do that in a professional manner. And I do not get into those types of conversations with teachers in the hall or in their classroom or in front of students. But I always try to handle it very professionally. I have not had any teachers to go to the superintendent on me because they felt I was being unfair or anything like that. But I think when I reprimand the teacher, they deserve it and they know it. And so far, they accept that and they're willing to work hard. And when I came in and we had to tighten up on the student discipline, we had to get a little tight on teachers too, because I guess over a period of time they've gotten a little laxed also, and they're a little nervous at first. They're a little scared because they felt maybe I was on their backs trying to get their jobs, but I tried to convey to them that that is not what I was trying to do. If we were going to set high expectations for the students, then we must set high expectations for ourselves also.
How did the desegregation of schools affect your role as principal?
I guess that was the thing that got me hired. It was at a time that schools had not been desegregated that long, and at the time, Knapp was the high school in Currituck County, J.P. Knapp High School, and they did not have a black administrator, and probably the federal government told them that they had to get a black administrator. Matter of fact, the superintendent told me that when he asked me in. And I guess the fact that I had played professional football, and with some injuries I had to come out of professional football, and I guess because I was well known in this area.
What team did you play?
The New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. So the superintendent, I'd sent applications to all of the surrounding areas, Currituck, Camden, Pasquotank, Pequimus, and Chowan, and it's kind of ironic. I got three calls the same day to come for interviews, so I decided to, for some obvious reason, take Currituck. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and the superintendent was very straightforward, and he made the statement that he was looking for a black administrator because they were under pressure to get one. But in getting a black administrator, he wanted someone that he felt the black students could look up to and have a role model, but he also wanted someone that could work with the white teachers and the white students and be fair to all students. And he told me, he said, I know you do not have the experience, he said, but if you're willing to give it a try, he said, I'm willing to work with you to help you through. And to me, that was a challenge. I've always liked challenges, and I guess that's why I accepted the job in Currituck. Mm-hmm. And I haven't regretted it so far.
Okay. What year was your school desegregated?
Knapp High School desegregated in 1965.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there's any difference in the supervision of the black teachers? You said you had three.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
We have one part-time art teacher who works with the high school.
Have you found any problems with those two?
No, I have not. Not at all. The two blacks that I do have are very young. One is a non-tenure. She should receive tenure this year. And the other one, she's been working probably about 6 years.